Looking for a verbal hand job?
Yes.
Release your frustrations and listen to Blunt Talk on Renegade Talk Radio.
Hello, Renegade Nation. This is Everly Isby coming at you once again. This is Connecting the Dots, and this is Renegade Talk Radio. This is the second show, the back-to-back that I'm doing on this Sunday, February 26th, 2017. And with joining me today is a very special guest. It's Naughty Nicole, one of the other hosts here on Renegade's Talk Radio Network. How you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing wonderful, Everly. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I just love your show.
You do? Thank you so much. You're doing great stuff, too. I love some of the shows you especially like your Christmas show, you know, where you're talking about the history of Christmas and stuff.
And I love doing those kinds of shows. And I, you know, and the reason I love your show so much is I'm all about some conspiracy theories, and I just eat your shows up. I love them.
Well, you know, conspiracy theory is one thing, but actually I try to actually more like conspiracy fact.
Yeah, yours are more factual than them, but you know, it's so fun listening to you just dive into them. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of information you find.
I know. I love research, when I fall onto a subject matter, I think sometimes I put too much information in one show, but
I sometimes feel that way myself, but you don't. I promise you this, you always leave us wanting more.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. I knew I loved you the moment I talked to you the first time.
Well, it's a mutual love affair, I promise.
Okay, well, mwah, mwah, mwah.
I know, right? Richie's probably kicking himself. He's not in the studio with us.
Yeah, he's off gallivanting somewhere. I'm alone in the studio right now, so that's cool. but anyway, this show I'm doing, I stumbled across from the last show. We were talking about pedophilia, the exposures, intelligence is coming forward. I just did an exposure from a DHS insider talking about the pedophilia and how it's controlling. You know, Congress and Senate have been compromised, and it goes across. I mean, it's just this major thing. And I also then stumbled across the Alex Jones interviews that he did back in 2009, I think it was. You know, Alex Jones with InfoWars.
Right.
And he was doing a series of interviews on the investigation done by a Georgia senator. And you live in Georgia, right?
I do. I live right outside of Atlanta.
Yes. And so this was Senator Nancy Schaefer, who for 4 years or more was doing an investigation on CPS, you know, Child Protective Services. And also there were further interviews with another investigator who was assisting her. His name was William Fain. And when I was listening to this stuff, I had heard that CPS, it could be very Gestapo in their tactics when they, you know, snatch kids, and that there was a lack of due process. But what I was listening from Senator Schaefer's exposure was just, I just was floored, and I recognized how it was such a connecting the dots with the pedophilia networks. And so I called you last night and I said, hey, you want to do the show with me? I want you to listen to these things. And so I just wanted to ask you just offhand, well, what do you think about the exposure of CPS and how I never heard of any of this stuff until just recently?
I'll be honest with you. Once you started telling me about it, I started digging into it myself because I think I'm kind of like you in that aspect, is that I really enjoy digging into a subject so that I can really immerse myself in it. And I'll be honest with you. I have friends who have been affected by Child Protective Services. And not to say that every person who works for DFACS, which is what it's called here in Georgia. But anybody who works for CPS, really, they do go through a good screening, as far as I know, in most areas. But like, I understand the need for Child Protective Services, and I applaud the good people out there that do the good work. But there is a lot of corruption within that particular department. And I was completely floored at some of these things that the senator was talking about. I mean, I was just flabbergasted by it. And I mean, I can share my own personal, like I have a friend who her ex-husband constantly calls CPS on her. And I mean, she's a good mother. She really is. She's a single mother trying to raise two almost adult children. Her daughter is 16 and has just had her first baby. So she's now a grandmother as well. So she's got a lot of people living in her house. Her ex-husband keeps trying to call CPS on her, even members of her own family. But they're using CPS as a weapon to try and control her because she doesn't do what they want her to do. Right. So CPS comes out there. They say, oh, well, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to clean your house. You need to do this. She's like, I'm a single mother. First of all, she does have a debilitating disease. She has lupus. So it's difficult for her to, you know, clean the house the way that it should be. Kids try to help out, but you know, her older son has some mental issues. So he's like, he's ADD, he's very high strung, and he gets angry really fast.
I don't mean to cut in on you there, but
no, that's okay.
What I wanted to say is that, you know, it's really sad that families would do something like tattletale to a government agency when they should be pitching in and helping her. You know,
well, it's like, and that's the thing that irritates me the most families. About it is that CPS has become like this weapon that people try to use against other people to manipulate to get something that they want.
Yeah, I mean, in their resentment and anger over a failed relationship.
You know, exactly.
It's childish, actually. It's emotionally childish. But if people actually understood how dangerous it is to put your children in jeopardy by the Gestapo tactics that CPS can do, in what Schaefer, you know, Senator Schaefer exposed, that is, I think people are fools unless it's really like a true situation of child endangerment or abuse or of some kind or other, you know, to protect children. Yes, sometimes you have to do something like call CPS, but otherwise keep them out of your life.
Well, and you know, and that's absolutely true. I mean, like in her situation, she's been very lucky because the people that have been assigned to her case have been very understanding and have been helpful to her. But on the other end of it, I see in my own neighborhood where people are being targeted simply because they don't have a lot of money, where Child Protective Services will walk in there and basically take the kids away. There's no other reason for it other than that their family doesn't have a lot of money.
Well, what was really interesting to me about Senator Schaefer's investigation was that a lot of times the CPS will come in because of the way it's set up from federal law. Back, I guess it was Walter Mondale back in the 70s, created some Family Protection Act. And then Bill Clinton, our darling Bill, enhanced CPS's aspects, and it has to do with kickbacks from the federal for every child they get and put in foster care or whatever. These agents of the CPS and the administration itself, they receive thousands of dollars per child. So it's in their interest to take kids even without due process. And they were even talking about how people would call in looking for a child to adopt. This may be in the CPS system, and they'll describe what they're looking for, blonde, blue-eyed little girl. And so if they don't have one handy, they'll just find one that they've already been tracking from maybe a small, you know, well, a low income family, and they'll just snatch them right off a bus out of their school. There have even been cases where they've stolen babies while they're still like suckling on their mother's breast in the hospital. They'll just come in and take them without due process. And once they're in the system, if you don't have money, you cannot fight to get your kids back.
Right, because you have to hire a lawyer, and there is no lawyer, no family lawyer. It's not like the legal system where it's criminal law where you automatically get a lawyer. No, this is family law. You have to pay this out of your pocket. And any family lawyer is going to tell you that they're going to need a retainer, and the minimum retainer, and this is just in the state of Georgia, is $1,500.
Right. And if you're
You're talking about people that can't pay their rent of $500 a month, and they need to come up with $1,500 just to hire somebody to talk on their behalf. And this is not even doing any work for them. This is just saying, okay, yeah, I'll take your case.
Right. And what's also interesting is that how it, in this investigation, how it get the network of how this whole system works goes on and on, because the family court is like a kangaroo court, and it works for the interests of the whole money machine that has been created from this whole bureaucratic nightmare that that actually, in the end, I mean, a lot of these kids who are taken by CPS, they get into the system and they're never seen again. And a lot of these children are disappearing into, most potentially, I would say, the pedophilia networks, which I covered in the last show. So it looks like government agency is stealing children for profit and contributing to the pedophilia networks. And that is just beyond me.
It's a disgusting practice.
Yeah, so it involves, not only does it involve hospitals and doctors, but it involves the judicial system, law enforcement, all kinds of people are at play in order to snatch children.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I know laws vary from state to state, but when it comes to child protective services, they really don't even have to have a reason to take the child from the home. They don't. If they walk into the home and they say that the home is not clean enough, or they feel like the child isn't getting enough food every day, they can take the child without any warning to the parent.
Based on their opinions.
Right.
Or their profit monger, you know, whatever.
Exactly. But you know, and that's where they come from.
Yeah. But when I'm going to go to a break here just for a second, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Senator Schaefer and what happened to her, and also the investigator and his comments about what happened to her in her very mysterious murder. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you, Nicole, for being there, and we'll be right back. This is Everly Isby, Connecting the Dots on Renegade Talk Radio.
We don't sugarcoat shit. This is Renegade Talk Radio.
Renegade Talk Radio.
Hello again, Renegade Nation. This is Everly Isby coming back at you with Naughty Nicole. And we're talking about the exposure of child protective services across the nation, and the work of Senator Nancy Schaefer, who had been doing this investigation for 4 or 5 years, and she exposed a lot of things. And then she died rather mysteriously. Actually, she was murdered. But she was also, even before that, as she was doing this investigation, she ended up being, you know, pushed out of the Senate. Whether they rig the elections or whatever they do to get someone who's out, who's like exposing something that's too dangerous, you know, they pushed her out of her political career. And then after that, she was murdered as she continued on with the investigation. And she had this other man, his name was William Fain, who was a very prominent investigator and well-respected. And some of his comments, and you got a little farther into this material than the videos that Alex Jones had done with both of them. So what do you think that is the most important thing that Nancy Schaefer exposed and what she talked about? Because there was this, what was it called, a formal paper? It was a...
Yes, she did do a formal paper that she presented to Congress, and I have to apologize because the title of which escapes me. Apparently, I didn't type it in here. I have to apologize for that. But she did find several things, and I think that they're important. That, you know, she looked at 300 cases just in the state of Georgia, and there are so many more across the nation that match these. But she found that poor parents were actually being targeted to have their kids literally snatched from them or have them legally kidnapped by CPS.
Because they can't afford to go through due process to get the kids back.
Right. Exactly. And they were targeted simply because they were poor, so that they knew that the parents wouldn't be able to hire a lawyer. And they had to have a lawyer in order to get them back. In the state of Georgia, any kind of classes like anger management, parenting, or anything like that, they require the parent to actually pay for that class instead of they require them to take the class in order to get the kids back, but then they also make them pay for it. And they're ridiculously expensive. Like, I know for a fact the anger management class is like $350. Well, nobody's got that kind of money if you're poor.
No, of course not. And what that is a shining example of is that a lot of the stuff that I talk into in my show is the fact that government is overreaching and intruding into every aspect of our lives when it's really none of their business. So it's an overreach and it's a profit, because all these agencies, whether it's the CPS or it's Health and Human Services or any of the three letter agencies, all of them are private corporations for profit. Mm-hmm. And the owners of these corporations aren't necessarily Americans either. So, you know, it's a very different system than what we started out with. And it's grown over time, and that's why I call it the corporatocracy. So we have this privately owned corporation parading around like a government agency, intruding into lives and stealing children for profit. Wow.
Yeah, and the sad part is she was finding things like caseworkers were actually destroying or withholding evidence, or they would even fabricate evidence or push to terminate parental rights when it wasn't even necessary.
Oh, right, because they would like actually use a different name. They'd take one child and then they'd create a file under a different name so that when people came to look to try to trace the child down, they couldn't find the file because it was placed under another name, things like that.
Right. Things like that. And in addition to that, but in Georgia, they were able to do, there's a Georgia state law that actually lets them hide behind a confidentiality clause. In other words, they don't even know they're being taken to court and they're losing their kids and they don't even know it.
Yeah. It's an ugly, ugly, horrific thing. I can't imagine. I remember Senator Schaefer saying that she got in a room with 37 families, and there were 50 more families outside who had gone through the same thing, but she could only hold 37 families in this one room with no pressure from CPS or intimidation tactics or anything like that. They were able to speak freely of what they'd gone through, and it impacted Senator Schaefer so deeply that she made it like basically the primary goal of her life is to expose all of this horrific stuff. But she said what these families were going through was just heartbreaking to see the emotional impact that it had on these families that they've been broken apart.
And the interesting thing that I found about it is, and I know you were talking about when Walter Mondale brought it up back, and it was 1974 when it was the Adoption and Safe Families Act. And then, of course, President Bill Clinton was the one who offered the bonuses. So the interesting thing is they can get $4,000 to $6,000 for every child that's adopted to a stranger. And they get an additional $2,000 if that child is labeled as a special needs kid. And they get federal money for this.
Well, what's also interesting, too, just to compound this whole thing, is that when they take them, then they put them in foster homes. And a lot of these foster homes are abusive, sexually abusive. In fact, they say that the majority of children who come out of foster homes end up not having really good lives. They're screwed up by these foster homes. But then the adoptive parents come in and they're paying big bucks for a child, comes out of the foster system and goes into a stranger's house, another stranger's house, and maybe they're in the pedophilia networks. You never know.
Yep. That's true, and there's a lot of that going on, and she did find a lot of that, where the kids were being taken away and they were being basically sold to sex traffickers so that they could be used for sexual acts. Some of them were being murdered. I mean, it was just disgusting, the things that she found.
Yeah, one day you have your family, and then the next day the children is disappeared off the school bus, out of the classroom, without your knowledge or consent or without due process of anything, and then they're never seen again.
Yep. Now, in her paper, she did have some recommendations, and I think that they're worth at least bullet pointing and at least going over, because it was her pet project, and I think she had some really great ideas.
Solutions are very important, because we can't just talk about a problem. What are the solutions?
So her solutions were is that to call for an independent audit of all state child protective services and for a federal congressional hearing on the child protective service network nationwide, which I think is a really good idea. It does need to be something that's privatized. It needs to be something other than the federal government, and it needs to be watchdogged. And she's absolutely right in that. She also wanted to activate the change immediately. So that way, no more kids are being taken and being held hostage and their lives destroyed and all of that.
You know, what's really sad is, and that's a great idea. And also, it should be an unincorporated entity of some kind. It shouldn't be a corporation for profit.
Absolutely. That was actually another one of hers. She said to abolish the federal and state financial incentives that have turned CPS into a business that separates families for money. So that was like number three on her wish list, was just get rid of those financial incentives altogether.
Yeah.
Because if there's no money in it, it's not going to happen anymore.
No. And I think she was probably ahead of her time in regards to exposing this. Even though the common person out there is going to respond to what she was talking into. But, you know, now with the stuff I exposed in the last show with the intelligence insiders coming forward and talking about the exposure of the pedophilia rings that started, you know, with the Podesta emails and the Wiener hard drive stuff that took investigators, like especially the New York Police Department, were following this stuff and they happened to stumble across the Wiener connection. So that's when everything started to come out and these exposures are coming. So I have a feeling now, and that's why I was really happy to bring Senator Schaefer's extraordinary work forward again and bring it out to the public to be aware that this is what is going on within this pedophilia network. This is a major link. It's a major connecting the dots moment. And sadly, she was before her time.
She definitely was. And then most of the rest of her recommendations are specific to parents' rights. They included having a search for family members when a child needs to be removed permanently instead of putting them with strangers, and an absolute jury trial where every piece of evidence is presented, and for parents who can't afford legal representation, that representation is provided for them.
Yeah, those are all good things. Yeah. Do you want to just, you know, let's talk a little bit about how she was murdered. It was because it's very strange. The investigator, William Fain, said that he felt that it was a true murder-suicide by her husband, said he was a wonderful man. And for some reason, he was sticking to the story or the outcome that he shot her while she was sleeping and then shot himself. But he didn't shoot himself in the head. He shot himself in the chest, which is kind of a weird way to commit suicide.
Yeah, and I have to – and nothing against that particular investigator, because I think he's a fine investigator. I think that there was some additional information he wasn't privy to before he made his mind up, because even Habersham County, which is where the murder-suicide took place, and the GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, when they began to investigate it, they stated that it was more of a murder-suicide, but they said it looked more like it was a murder made to look like suicide. Yeah. So they've never settled on the fact that it was murder-suicide.
Right. Yeah, it's all very, very sad. God rest her soul and her husband.
Yes.
And everything.
It's just like, and the thing is that, you know, and I know one of the things that I believe that Mr. Fain's opinion came from was that he was told that they were having financial problems, but right. The GBI actually determined that they did not have any financial problems that would have caused them to do that, and that they were both very religious, and that this murder-suicide just strongly went against the sanctity of life principle that they both had. I mean, they had 5 kids, they have a dozen grandkids, and they would never have chosen to leave them behind.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't. But it just makes sense that they would have taken them out, because they were exposing the pedophilia whole aspect, the Gestapo tactics of a government agency, or one that's parading around like one anyway. But it's all coming out now, and that's the most important thing that we can bring forward about this whole thing. But the link to the pedophilia rings that are being exposed now, that's what's going to be very exciting. I'm going to close on this for right now. And I thank you all for listening, Renegade Nation. And thank you, Nicole, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it again soon, I think.
Oh, I love chit-chatting with you. You know that.
Okay, honey. Listen, once again, this is Everly Isby connecting the dots right here on Renegade Talk Radio, and we'll be back very soon. Bye.